Hello. More than three decades after he left this earth, I still can see my father fast at Christmas time. There he is. He's hunched over the garden. There's a bow. He's got a Winston in his mouth. He's hooking up the wires. The sparks are flying, the expletives too. And the trains, you know, you've all seen the garden, but this is an elaborate deal. And everything worked perfectly. It had to work perfectly. And we would watch them together. And I don't know if I ever saw him happier. You know, it was partly the time. He was drinking a bow, and that was when the Hofburgers brewed the beer, and Jerry Hofburger owned the Orioles, and we had quite a few pennants at the stadium. I'm sorry. His eyes would take on that same kind of, his eyes, you got to understand, they're kind of opalescent. You can see to eternity, to all the way to his soul and his eyes. And they're always twinkling at Christmas time. And we have the Jesus Parade is one of the highlights of the whole holiday. My three brothers and sister line up at the top of the stairs, and we parade down the steps. The baby Jesus is in a blanket, and has to make it safely to the crib under the tree, and the other siblings carried candles. And my old man had this camera, I don't know, some of you might remember him, with the blinding spotlights. And coming down those stairs, if you didn't believe in miracles before that, you would pretty quickly. So he's filming it all, and we have five stacks every year, good times and bad, but more on that later. Five stacks of gifts, everything you can imagine, talking football, electric football, catcher's mitts, hockey sticks and bikes and fire helmets that talked and pretty much everything you can imagine. It didn't matter much whether it was a good year in the car business, my father sold cars, or a bad year, because the bad years, the gifts still appeared. He just racked up obscene credit card debt. The Jesus Parade, I'm not sure of its origins. I think it might go back to my father's family, in Irvington, or maybe all the way back to Thomas James, who came from Ireland during a potato famine. I can't be sure, and opened a pub on West York Street, a couple blocks away from what is now the Maryland Science Center. I guess that could explain a lot. I love Christmas for what it was and for what it wasn't. At Christmas time, my parents weren't trying to rip each other apart. My father wasn't flying into drunken rages so much. He still had jobs, and he hadn't begun the slow drowning that is emphysema. And I try to cherish those memories. At Christmas, we could feel like a real family, even though my mother had been sleeping upstairs with my sister for 5 years, and my little brother and I in twin beds across from my father. I still felt like we were a family. We could be a real family at Christmas time, and that was a great feeling. But what upsets me, kind of pisses me off, really, I see the photographs and I see the old, those films that he made with the spotlights, and I know when I was a little guy, that this was, we went to Ocean City together, my mother and my father got along, he bought her a Buick, yellow Buick convertible, surprise 1 year. And he could hold his own on the fields of his alma mater at St. Joe. He was this big, you know, strapping man. And I never got to see all that. It's all in the pictures. But sometimes at night, when David and I, my little brother, are in the bed next to him, he would always pray with us. And we would always pray for the poor people, the sick people, the dying people, the people at war, the people in purgatory. I thought he was living his own kind of purgatory then, but he escaped from it this time of year. He had some respite from this kind of purgatory. He lived in too much of the rest of the year during difficult times. If you give me 1 second here, I'm very nervous. I've done classes and press conferences all, but never really done this. I like to think of him at that time and when he prayed for us and what he taught me. And I try to tell my kids, Joseph and Polly, who are 8 and 4 respectively now, about their grandfather they never met. He never met any of his 11 grandchildren. He died at 59 when we buried him at New Cathedral. I felt like I hardly knew him. Maybe we get to know our parents better in death and life. But I'm telling Joseph, you know, he taught us to pray. He taught us compassion. He taught us to care. He always loved the underdog. He taught us faith. He taught us to believe. He taught us one of his favorite expressions, with the help of the Lord. With the help of the Lord, you know, all things were possible. And Joseph's looking at me. He's here tonight, this afternoon somewhere, I think. And he's like, yeah, yeah. His eyes start to take on that glazed look. And he's, Dad, do we still have those trains? The ones up in the attic. Yeah, pal, we still have them. The trains and the tracks from when I was a kid. And maybe next year, with the help of the Lord, we'll pull them out. And we'll set up a train garden ourselves. And I'm thinking of me and the little ones there. Next year, maybe a train garden. And right away, I see him. He's got the plaid robe on, and he's got the bow, and he's got the Winston, and he's sitting in front of the garden. And I just kind of hold on to that memory of my father, and I want them to hold on to that memory. And I want to say to them, Merry Christmas, and to all of you, whatever you celebrate, I wish you peace and joy this season. Thank you.
Gary Gately.